Mr. Waters, thank you so much for joining with me today and speaking with me about what's coming up.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Fantastic. So what was Christmas like growing up for you? Do you have any fond memories, any dark ones?
I have fond memories. I certainly had a happy, functional Christmas with my family. I do remember going down to the neighborhood in Lutherville, Maryland. We would go down on Christmas Eve and they would turn on the lights and Santa would show up. But I could tell that Santa was the man that lived four houses away. I could hear his voice and everything. So it kind of was the first lie you realize your parents told you. They should have gotten somebody that lived in a different neighborhood or something. Young, I didn't start screaming and pointing and ruining it for others. I kind of liked that I was in on the lie in a way. It was my first behind-the-scenes secret of show business. Santa was an actor.
Yeah. Do you still celebrate today? Are there any holiday traditions that you keep alive?
So, yes, and I decorate the house. Well, I don't, but my people do it for me, and I have very traditional type decorations, all completely untypical and real. Like, I decorate the electric chair that Divine was fried in Female Trouble, and I have a Unabomber birdhouse with lights on it. So it's traditional and non-traditional at the same time.
Do you think music or movies are a better medium for Christmas spirit? Do you like other Christmas movies
well,
that you like as
they
much?
Both, you can have classics. You know, both Christmas movie can play for every year, and same with the music. So I think if it works, it is the biggest hit of all because it will play every Christmas for forever in a way, especially music, I think.
Do you have a favorite Christmas movie, one that you think of every year, one you watch every
year?
Oh,
I always say the same one, Christmas Evil is the best one, but there aren't. I wish there were more. Now there's all these big-budget Hollywood bad-taste Christmas movies that, to me, I don't know, they're trying too hard. And I like the horror thing was kind of finished with Silent Night, Bloody Night, and Christmas Evil, though, was the best one, about a real guy that thinks he's Santa Claus and gets stuck in people's chimney and spies on little children and actually gets a real job in a toy factory. It's pretty good.
What do you think the greatest Christmas gift you ever got was?
I think Divine 1 year gave me a beautiful cashmere blanket, and I know that he couldn't afford that, so I think he probably stole it. I don't know, but it was good. I still have it. I curl up with it sometimes.
What do you think the worst Christmas gift you ever got was?
Well, I like the idea of worst Christmas presents. I say in my show that we have to think of non-traditional ways to celebrate it with your family. And 1 year, she purposely have a worst Christmas, where you purposely give the gift you think they would hate the most. It would be kind of fun. But 1 year, I lived in Temple Gardens at the time. It was an apartment in San Francisco, and I lived on the 7th floor, and it was just probably irresponsible because somebody gave me the soundtrack to Rocky, knowing I would hate it, and I just opened it in the window and threw it out the window, which, you know, it could have landed on somebody. I should have thought first.
All right. Passing, is it a re-gifting in the old school way?
No, a re-gifting, well, that's a very militant way to re-gift. Re-gifting never works. Instantly, the people know that you didn't pay for it. It's so obvious. So really, you should say, you have a receipt for that? I'd like to return that because I already have it. And watch them panic.
How does this year's show differ from previous Christmas shows?
Oh yeah, I rewrite it every year. I rewrite it in July, so it's not creeping up on me. But yes, it's a lot different. Yes, it's not a command performance. You know, that's when you don't change it. That's the code word for the same show. A lot of comedians do that. The audiences cheer when they hear their favorite joke, which I've never had the nerve to do.
So should folks prepare in any way for your show? You're coming back here to Richmond.
Well, it'll be the first year Dirt Woman won't be in town. I think just bring your sense of humor with you. And it's going to be a tough Christmas. People are going home. There's going to be a lot of fights at Christmas this year. A lot of Christmas trees getting knocked over because this is the first Civil War Christmas in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, the last time I spoke to you, you didn't quite remember Dirt Woman. Did her passing kind of...
Oh, I remembered her, but not to the extent, really, that people assume that, you know, we were best friends. I'm for her, and she had a great career. It lasted, and I saw the very respectful obituary she got, and somebody's making a movie about her. So she had a good run.
Yeah, they actually did an NPR piece on All Things Considered that ran about her. That was really great.
It was such a good name. That was such a good name. And really, I have never met anyone from Richmond in my entire life that didn't know Dirt Woman. Yeah. I mean, Dirt Woman should have run for mayor.
She did.
Did she?
She had a fail.
That's what I should. That's what I mean.
She had a somebody failed mayoral bid. Like
she could have been the outsider mayor.
any final Christmas advice for the listening audience that folks should try and keep in mind this year?
When you go home, bring a whistle with you and pass it out to everybody. And every time somebody starts talking about politics, get out that whistle and blow it. And eventually people will start laughing. And once everybody's laughing, that's when you can maybe make a point and someone might listen to you for the first time if you don't agree with them so radically that it's going to start fighting. So you don't want to fight on Christmas. But at the same time, I know people that are literally not going home because of it. They say, I just can't because I know I'll get in a fight. So the thing is, I don't think a lot of people are going to change each other's mind this Christmas. So maybe it's one day that no one says the T word out loud.
These holidays are usually prime example or prime times for things to go terribly wrong between the mix of eggnog and somehow holiday cheer just going south.
Well, the trees fall over a lot, and people have shared those stories with me. It's usually when the tree falls over, it's in the past has mostly been the dog or liquor, and this year it will be Trump too. You can add that to the list when people start pushing and shoving.
Do you do you have a holiday cocktail you enjoy? Are you an eggnog person at all?
No, eggnog, I don't like milk and liquor. It sounds kind of repugnant to me. No, if I'm going to have a drink, when I'm with my family, I don't drink heavily. It's a bad, bad thing. I'll have a glass of wine. When I go to my sister's for Thanksgiving, my job is to bring the wine. That's an easy job. You just have to go bring it. But it's not my turn to cook the whole Christmas dinner this year. But when it is, right after you finish is when you have a nice drink. It's a sit down. But I can't cook and drink. I forget what I'm doing.
Well, Mr. John Waters, we look forward to your show coming up next week at the Bird Theater here in Richmond. Thanks so much for speaking with me in Radio IQ.
Radio IQ? I like that. Is that for smart people?
Yeah, that's what I'm led to believe, and I work for them, so let's go with that.
Okay.